to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Howell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer. And today we are checking in with the hot dogs at Disney. driver's license with a special teen guest. And cringe mode, Sex and the City, the movie.
Really fun one.
Really good episode. I'm extremely excited to record. Follow us on Twitter at teatime_33. And then on Instagram, we're at teatimepod. Okay, before we get into the show, let's take a quick break.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
All right, first category. We're starting out really strong. The news appeared this week, and we could not think of one cohesive category to name this. So you got a little bit of everything. We have some relationship news, some not worth the tea, some social media. Just going to do bits and pieces. It's a category mashup. So first, very important to me, Lori Harvey and Michael B. Jordan are Instagram official. And it's the most beautiful couple I've literally ever seen with my two eyes. Lori Harvey is the stepdaughter of Steve Harvey, someone we love at Tea Time. And then obviously Michael B. Jordan is Michael B. Jordan, the sexiest man alive. And they went Instagram official. They've been linked together for a couple months, but it's, you know, it's out there. It's public now. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the media was annoying because Lori Harvey got all this attention because she's been linked to, you know, various people like Future and Trey Songz and Justin Combs and then his father, Diddy. Regardless, nobody,
Both of them?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. But no man is ever subject to that. Yeah. So we're just going to say go Lori Harvey. And yeah. I wish I had your looks, honestly.
Honestly, it's bag the sexiest man alive. What a time. What a flex.
Hell yeah.
So much better than Future. Ew.
Yeah. Really. True. As long as she's upgrading as she goes.
And like, she clearly is. So.
She's right at the top, though, I feel. Get like it. Michael B. Jordan, sexiest man alive.
Right. Where do you go from here?
Exactly.
Marriage. A child. I don't know.
Yes. Also in relationship news, Riz Ahmed, our guy, we don't get to talk about him very often. He's pretty low key, but love Riz. He revealed this week on The Tonight Show that he got married during lockdown. You know, so sad for the single women of the world, but good for him. And good for his wife, who is a novelist. Her name is Fatima Farhin Mirza. And they have a super cute, like, meeting story. Just sounds like a rom-com. He was working on his movie, The Sound of Metal. She was working on a book. And they sat down in a cafe together and were like jostling over the laptop plug point.
Oh,
and like, and that's how
that's
they met.
Meet
they were like meeting, working next to each other on their laptops. And I assume that was pre-lockdown because you can't go to cafes now. But yeah. And then now they're married and they were like married during lockdown, like in a backyard with their friends and family. So
that's
he's
so
off the market.
Cute.
But extremely really cute. Okay. Pivoting to social media, as we said, this is a mashup. This is very random. But, you know, over the course of quarantine, TikTok and the internet have become sort of obsessed with like these strange comfort, like specific corners and like things. So, you know, we had the cottage core obsession, the grandma core obsession that we talked about. And the obsession of the week is sea shanty TikTok, which I'm ashamed to say I did, not ashamed, I guess I'm proud to say I did know about before this week. It had already found its way to me on TikTok. And so there are a bunch of pieces about it on the internet and like why it happened. Catherine Van Arendonk wrote a really good one for Vulture. And the main sea shanty that is super popular is called Wellerman.
Oh,
and it's been stuck in my head all week. And there are all these TikToks where people are like, the one that has really sort of made its way around are these two guys in the car. And one of them's like, get this man off the aux cord, because the other one is playing sea shanties. And then it's like this character development over the course of the video where he like gets more and more into the sea shanty.
Ooh.
And at the end, he's like harmonizing. And There are just a lot of theories as to why this has suddenly become so popular. Catherine Van Arendonk wrote, what I think is a great point is that sea shanties are literally made to bring people together in very difficult conditions and like unite people and people who, you know, were alone in the ocean and like facing the odds, just bringing people together with a strong melody and a strong beat.
That's true. The melodies are beautiful. They are beautiful.
Yeah. And TikTok has the whole stitching thing where one person can sing one part and then another person can add another part. And that's sort of like how sea shanties go, is like all these different people collaborating. So it's just very pure. And I just really enjoy it. I love that we have, instead of like, you know, falling into some sort of horrible internet corner, we've like decided to elevate this very pure thing in like month 11 of lockdown.
True.
There you go.
So yeah, I'm very into sea shanty TikTok. Send me your sea shanties because I need to get this one out of my head. And then finally, also in social media, not finally, just for this segment of this mashup category, to all the boys I loved before, always and forever, Lara Jean, very long title. The trailer's out. This podcast has a long history with these movies. I think it basically came about not because of them, but like really on the heels of the first craze. Did we start doing tea time and being obsessed with Noah Centineo? We've come so far with Noah.
I like to think we've grown up a little bit since that first movie came out. But
yeah.
God, that trailer pulls you right back in, I gotta say.
It does. It is the longest trailer I've ever seen. It's like 3.5 minutes long. You see the entire movie. There's a prom, which is great. Really, every high school movie series needs a prom. There's a spring break trip to New York. She goes to Korea as well. So yeah, I'm honestly, I think I'm out on Noah, and then he lets out one of these damn movies and he sucks me right back in. So we'll see. But that comes out right before Valentine's Day. So I'm sure we'll be covering that.
Ooh, I'm so excited.
Extensively.
We need this. We really do.
We do.
Okay, let's pivot to two pieces of Not Worth the Tea.
Yes. So Bruce Willis, I'm sure you know who he is. He was spotted not wearing a mask at a convenience store. And I guess he was asked to leave. He left. You know, now that I'm like reading this story back, I'm like, there's really nothing. It's just like, you know, wear a mask. He clearly forgot. And then there was an update and he said that I think he apologized. He was like, oh no, he said it was an error in judgment. So
it wasn't an accident.
Right.
You could have just said you forgot one.
Yeah.
But if you made a judgment call and decided not to wear one.
So I don't know. I mean, oh my God.
Here's the thing about celebrities wearing masks that I don't understand, or not wearing masks. Mm-hmm. You're a celebrity. You're Bruce Willis. Why do you want people to recognize you when you go to the fucking 7-Eleven or whatever? Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the people that should be wanting to wear masks in public and not be recognized are people like Bruce Willis, who are just like running errands and don't want people taking pictures of them.
But yeah, and also knowing that you are guaranteed to be photographed or paid attention to when you walk outside. So why would you even, like, why would Bruce Willis bring this upon himself besides the fact that he kind of thought maybe he like actually didn't want to wear one, which is bad judgment.
Right.
I don't know.
Extremely unforced error on all counts.
It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You're like the demographic that's like,
You're vulnerable,
yikes.
Bruce Willis.
The vulnerable demographic.
Getting up there in the years.
Yeah.
I have no idea how to transition to this last piece of Not Worth the Tea, so I'm just going to dive right in. I saw this on People this week. Really stopped me in my tracks. But I really like talking about like kind of odd things on Tea Time. Like I like the food news and the animal news and all the other kind of like non-celebrity related stuff we get away with. So this is food related. Disney Springs, which I had no idea what that was. It's the outdoor shopping, dining, and like entertainment complex at Walt Disney World Resort in Florida. Disney Springs has now debuted this new food item called a King Dog. Mm. From now until January 25th, which I also realize is like a really short amount of time. So maybe it's just like a soft open. They're seeing how the public is going to react and then maybe they'll pull it. So it's a special hot dog. It's got a French toast, batter dipped, and cereal crusted hot dog bun. Never-ending toppings like spicy peanut butter spread, banana honey mustard, chipotle berry preserve, and billionaire's bacon. That is so gross in so many different ways. There's nothing really to like. Every piece of that is gross on a hot dog.
Yes.
Agreed. I can't believe it.
Liz, you got to get to the best part of the story.
Okay. Oh, did you read it too? Okay.
I have it open right now.
Okay. I was really excited to say this last piece. Okay. So if you want to order this quote, epic hot dog, you must utter the phrase, hot dog, a hot dog, a hot diggity dog at the truck. couldn't pay me.
Okay. Even if I wanted this, even if you saw like spicy peanut butter spread, banana honey mustard, chipotle berry preserve and bacon and the French toast and all of that, and you were like, yes, that last step of like the humiliation of saying that.
Yeah. Why did they do that? That's a punch to the gut. Like if you're going to order it, obviously something's wrong. So why would you have to really lean in and say that? You just got to say it. I feel like you'd whisper it, like, I want a king dog, not like exclaim this weird ass phrase.
This looks disgusting. It literally looks like French toast with bacon and a hot dog.
I feel like the people who are going to Disney Springs right now in this window are the type of people who would yell, hot diggity dog. You know what I mean?
You know what? Yeah.
That's true. Yep. The Venn diagram is a circle, as Kate likes to say. Okay, let's move on to the next category with our very special guest. It's our teen correspondent, Zoe Simmons, and she is here to talk about something very important and a song and drama that's taken the world by storm. So Tea Time and Zoe Simmons is investigating the driver's license drama. First, welcome, Zoe.
Hi, guys.
We've brought you here today for something very important because, as you know, on Tea Time, we are engaged in TikTok. We try to like keep up, but this is kind of out of our hands. This is out of our scope. So please take us through Driver's License, the song by Olivia Rodrigo. What's happening, the context, everything. Take it away.
Okay. So basically, Olivia Rodrigo and Joshua Bassett had a rumored relationship. They were co-stars on the show High School Musical, the musical, the series, which dropped last December. Great show, but they were love interests, and it was a spinoff of High School Musical. Okay. But there were some rumored relationships going on last year as they were filming the show. They had been pictured together and all this stuff, and everyone thought that they were dating, blah, blah, blah. But Joshua is 20 years old, I believe, and Olivia Bassett's turning 18 next week.
Okay. Olivia Rodrigo, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously they couldn't be together considering it's illegal, whatever.
Right.
But correct. I mean, like, if it was anyone who wasn't in the spotlight, it would probably work out. It's just the fact that they're in the spotlight and everyone would know that it's illegal, blah, blah, blah. So it just didn't work out between them. So they kind of had to cut that relationship off. And it seemed Olivia was a lot more invested in it than Joshua was. Mm. But there's some unwritten stuff that happened. Olivia just dropped this song last week called Driver's License, which basically rumors and breaks down the relationship and how she was really in love with this guy and he left her for a new girl, the blonde girl in the song.
Right.
Ain't that always how it goes?
I know. Always. The blonde girl always wins.
As a group full of brunettes, we know how that goes.
I know.
It's tough. It's tough.
It sucks. So this blonde girl is supposedly Sabrina Carpenter, who is another Disney Channel star. She's older than Olivia Rodrigo. She's 21, I believe.
Okay.
But they're rumored to be dating now, and Olivia Rodrigo did not take that well.
I mean,
who would? Exactly.
And she's like, Sabrina Carpenter is beautiful and she's like majestic and she's been in the scene for a long time. So that's a tough one.
The lyrics are like, she's everything. She's so much older than me. She's everything I'm insecure about, blah, blah,
like,
blah, blah, blah.
It's so deep. And it's as a high school girl and going through drama like this, I totally feel her pain.
Sure.
Like,
I think
it
we
sucks.
All do. It's a timeless.
It really
pain.
Is.
It's a timeless bop. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's blown up on TikTok and just in general, right?
Yeah, it's huge. It's the biggest song right now. I think it actually beat Taylor Swift on the charts.
She set a Spotify record for the most streams in a day for a non-holiday song, and she keeps beating her own records. Like January 11th, it had 15.17 million global streams. Then the next day, it was 17 million. It just like keeps beating itself. It's really
unbelievable. It's crazy.
Dang. Yeah.
So after this song had dropped, an hour after Olivia Rodrigo posted about her song dropping, Joshua Bassett posted he is releasing his song, Lie, oh Lie, God. Lie.
I didn't know it was called Lie, Lie, Lie.
Oh my God.
So everyone's like, what's going on here? Because obviously the two songs have something going on between them.
Right.
And so Joshua released his song last night. And I watched both music videos, and one similarity was they filmed basically in the same place for a majority of the scenes. So that was one thing. Yeah. So they were filming in the same place. It looked like the same type of car that they were using.
It does. Yeah.
That's messed up. That's messed up.
He also used some foreshadowing with he had a scene of him in a red glowing light, and Olivia Rodrigo in her song, she talks about the red light. He had a scene in the red light with a girl with blonde hair, probably Sabrina Carpenter, and them arguing in the car.
Oh, okay. But what is lie, lie, lie? So I'm looking at the lyrics right now. Is he accusing Olivia Rodrigo of about lying about their
relationship?
Oh, okay, got
it. But the lyrics are just so contradicting and like horrifying, because this poor girl, she just released a song. She brought her heart out to everyone, like super vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And then he released a song that's completely saying like, no, this is not how it went. Like, you're lying to the public. You're lying to yourself. And those are basically the lyrics. You've been lying to yourself, lie to everyone else, only thinking about yourself. Darling, what the hell?
Damn. And she says, you're acting oh so innocent, like I'm the only one to blame. Because obviously, when Driver's License came out, everyone was like on Olivia Rodrigo's side.
And totally. Right,
this is the other side of it. Oh my God.
So here's what I don't get about Lie, Lie, Lie. Is the reason that we're all so obsessed with this drama is that you can watch it play out over... Like, we can tie every lyric in Driver's License to something that we know happened. Like, she talked in an interview about how he taught her to drive in an In-N-Out parking lot. Like, we know that he drives a white car. We know that Sabrina Carpenter is older and blonde. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what is she lying about? Because we, as a public,
we have the evidence.
We've verified everything. That's why we're obsessed. So I don't quite know where he's going with that.
I know. And it's just everyone villainized Joshua since everything had happened, because obviously everyone took Olivia's side. And even in the show, Joshua was a love interest. Everyone was obsessed with him. I remember like last year, he was the heartthrob. Everyone was constantly talking about him. And now he's being bashed on the internet. And he's posting TikToks with Sabrina, which is like, well, I mean, I guess... But
Zoe,
you know.
Can I ask you a question about High School, the musical, the series? Or
of course.
Is that an ongoing show? Like, will there be more seasons where presumably all of these people
season two
will be
is
on
dropping.
Set?
Is dropping, I think, pretty soon, actually. Because last year it came out around this time. And this year it's coming out.
So is it a popular show? Like,
it's very popular. All my friends have watched it. Wow. I just made my mom rewatch it with me. Honestly, it's a really good show. Very enjoyable, super easy to watch. But the fact that there's probably going to be a lot of tension, considering they might have been filming after the breakup happened and all this drama went down. And because they're making songs dissing each other, basically.
And also, perhaps the show isn't over yet, so they would have to go back to set now after all of this stuff is aired out to the public and continue filming the
series.
Very
much Sophia Bush and Chad Michael Murray.
Oh, yeah.
And One Tree Hill back in the day. Yeah.
When I was looking into this, like, they both wrote songs for the series. So, like, it's not just like they're showing up, saying their lines, singing their songs, leaving. It's like they're writing songs like for their characters to sing like from their heart. So
they wrote these lyrics. They totally meant everything said, which is just, and just one of the lines in her song is like, you didn't mean what you wrote in that song about me, which is, and he wrote song. Wow. It's just, it fits so perfectly. And we have all the evidence. They haven't confirmed everything, but they've confirmed, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, Zoe. So what do you think Sabrina Carpenter does now? Like, has she posted anything? Does she release her own diss track?
Honestly.
About who knows what?
I mean, for the publicity part of it, it would be hilarious if she did release a song. And considering she actually does have a really good voice, and she's in the singing industry as well. So, I mean, if she did that, totally ridiculous and would villainize her as well. But it would be good.
I don't know who ends up on top. I guess Olivia Rodrigo's career has now blown up as a musical artist, which is great. But then if you have two other people come out being like, you're a lying, dramatic teenager, kind of like you're whatever, acting all innocent and young and stuff. I don't know really who wins here. Maybe Olivia Rodrigo still.
I think everyone wins.
Yeah.
We're talking about these people. We had no idea who they were. No offense to the teens. Sabrina Carpenter's career has not been doing great in recent years. Like, now she's in the news. Olivia Rodrigo, people are like, she's the next Lord. And now Joshua Bassett has like that Taylor Swift X like notoriety.
Oh, totally.
So now, you know, as Olivia is successful, then people will be talking about him. So honestly, I think three for three, everyone wins.
And the show, even with the new season coming out, now it's going to have more viewers considering TikTok has blown up the sound.
I mean, we're going to have to watch. So
you have to watch. It is such a good show. Totally recommend if you like High School Musical as well. You don't have to.
So, so I'm looking at these lyrics to Lie, 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 and I'm thinking that he might have come up with this in a matter of minutes because it's just like you're a liar. Lie, 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 lie. So do you think, Zoe, do you think that in the end, are you more likely to believe Olivia over Joshua? Because these lyrics are
Bad. Totally. And as a female, you kind of have to back up the girls.
Good choice.
But not only that, her lyrics were so much more heartfelt, and you can tell she put a lot of time into it. And the songs, in my opinion, a lot better than Lie, Lie, Lie.
Yeah,
it's like it seemed like he felt like he had to get a song out there because he knew this song was coming out and he needed some sort of defense.
Right. So Amelia, you're so right. He's rhyming lie with try, time with bye, and then he just rhymes bye with bye again. So you're right. He was pressed for time.
He was. He really needed to get one out there so he could. But you know what? I respect it. If he didn't do anything, it might be worse.
It would be a missed opportunity if he
did
not.
Another thing that happened was Olivia had been reposting a lot of publicity and stuff that people had been posting for her song. Like, go listen to Driver's License. It's so good. And Joshua ended up posting about it and telling everyone to listen and that he's so proud of her and all this stuff.
What?
So it's also like, do you genuinely mean this and are you totally oblivious to what the rest of the world is thinking? Or are you doing this because you have to not be a jerk?
Wait, that's a super weird move.
I know.
Is that like before or after Lie, Lie, Lie? Gotta be before.
It was before. Well, obviously, because it was before Lie, Lie, Lie dropped, but everyone knew it was coming out. He had rumored it right after she said she was dropping her song. Like, he knew, everyone knew it was coming.
This is suspicious.
It's weird behavior.
Yeah, he should have at least named the song, like, It's a Complicated Situation or something like that.
Listen to both sides.
Seriously. Damn, that's weird.
It's super weird. And you never know.
I love
it. So for the people our age and like the baseline info is we're on Olivia Rodrigo's side. Stream Driver's License. Even though
so
Amelia,
good.
I know you said it was kind of hard for you to relate and me too because the whole song is like she just got her driver's license and we're
I
like,
feel
oh my
so
God.
Old listening to it. I'm like, oh my God. Oh.
Those are old emotions.
It's crazy. And another thing that people are doing on TikTok or they're rewriting the songs from different perspectives. So someone rewrote it from Joshua's perspective, from the blonde girl's perspective. And then from, it was
so
also
creative.
Like funny ones, like the driver's license, actual driver's license perspective. And just all this, like the guy behind her waiting for her to move in from Joshua Bassett's house.
Oh,
it's so
good.
Funny. TikTok's so creative.
It is.
Love that they're streaming the song, that they're running with it, giving it the publicity it deserves. You deserve this, Olivia.
Yeah.
We're rooting for her.
I feel like we got to the bottom of this. This was a very successful tea time investigation.
Extremely helpful, Zoe. Thank you so much.
Oh, of course.
Next TikTok drama, we'll be sure to call you in as well. You're
awesome. I would love to break it down.
Okay, moving right along. We've got Cringe Mode, Sex in the City. I, for one, can't wait to talk about this with you three. I'm a huge Sex in the City fan, and so is Kaya. But then you two, Amelia and Kate, don't really have the rich history that we do at the show. Did you, at the top, enjoy this movie, Kate?
I did. I actually had a great time. I've never seen a Sex in the City episode or any of the movies. Obviously, we're doing this because they're bringing back Sex in the City on HBO Max soon, supposedly, without Samantha. And so, to give me the background that one needs to enjoy the reboot, we decided to watch these movies. I didn't have high expectations. Had a great time.
Great. Amelia, what do you think? Did you like the movie?
I did. As someone who's seen maybe two or three episodes, we didn't get HBO until I went off to college, sadly. Mm. So, I had seen the movie in theaters. I've seen both of the movies in theaters without really knowing about the show that much. Like, I had a somewhat understanding of the characters and whatnot. But yeah, I thought it's like a fun movie.
It's a great movie.
Chick flick.
Yeah.
Is that okay for me to say? Can I say Chick flick?
Okay, yeah. Yeah. We're reclaiming, reclaiming chick flick. Okay, cool. Time.
Cool. One movie at a time. Okay, so I feel like because I have the one with the knowledge of it, I can do the plot. I feel like comfortable enough to recap it. First of all, extremely long movie, so a lot happens. People go through whole transformations and then come back to where they originally were. So essentially, Carrie attempts to marry Big in this very grand, extravagant, Vogue-covered wedding at the public library. He doesn't get out of the car, essentially ditches her at the altar without her actually being at the altar. All crumbles. They go through this terrible breakup. She hires a personal assistant for the first time, played by Jennifer Hudson. Her name's Louise. Really great character. We can talk about that later. Then she kind of, at the very end of the movie, decides that she still loves him. She's grown enough. It's really about like them being together, not about all the frills and the whatever else of the wedding. So they get married in City Hall. They together. Then you have the second character, Miranda. Miranda gets cheated on. Steve's kind of an ass. They like kind of separate for a bit. Then at the end, you know, who knows what happens? They kind of come together and they like, you know, smile at each other, dot, dot, dot. Maybe they end up back together. Charlotte is still with Harry. They've adopted a daughter named Lily from China. And then she gets pregnant with her second daughter. That's like her storyline. And then lastly, Samantha is living in Malibu with Smith Jared. She kind of hates it. They like don't have sex as much as she wants to. She's bored. She misses her friends. Then at the end of the movie in her plot line, she realizes that, you know, the person she loves the most is herself. And she's a woman maybe meant to be alone or just like, you know, with various partners. So that's kind of the four of them and where they're at. I feel like that kind of covers the scope of the movie. Okay, let's go through some highlights. Kate, what do you have?
I only have one highlight just because I generally enjoyed it. They all look amazing in this. I went in expecting like just some egregious Botox or like at least some sort of, you know, just past their glory days vibes from this. Mm-hmm. Not at all. They all look really incredible. The styling was great. They all look amazing. Their outfits were amazing. I was just the whole time I was just like, damn, great job. Whoever did all of your faces, great job. You nailed it.
Their bodies were banging too. Like Sarah Jessica Parker is giving Jennifer Aniston like a run for her money.
Yeah,
like,
she always absolutely. Has had that body. Like, it's freaking
Pilates, yoga. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. They look amazing.
I also think it captures the TV show like energy and tone just like exactly perfectly. It was not written by the same people, but the writer and creator of the TV show, Darren Star, produced this movie and produced a second. So I'm assuming that he had like a heavy hand in how this all came together. And they did just a fantastic job. Like the movie was anchored by like Carrie's narration, just like the TV show is. And then like each major scene and plot line was like moved along by them sitting in a restaurant and kind of discussing it, which is exactly how the TV show works. And then it like revolves around Carrie, but then three best friends are like also major plot points and like help carry the movie along. So freaking just really good as a fan of the TV show. I wondered if people don't share that opinion who watch the show, but I think it was like a great back and forth.
I also thought it moved pretty fast. I expressed some dismay at the fact that it was 2.5 hours long. But I really didn't think it dragged. And I thought like for as much as they packed in, it just like really clipped along.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as someone who had never seen the show, but has seen the movies, I'm just like, well, maybe I should watch the show. But it's also like you can obviously watch it and have a good time watching it and not get bored. But it's also one of those movies you can have on in the background while you're doing other stuff. And it's kind of just like a nice little background film.
I thought that they did like a recap in the beginning, kind of discussing where all the characters went over like the various seasons, and they did it in like 2 minutes. I thought it was like a very great, quick way to just fill everybody in.
Yeah. You know, it was helpful you needed to know. For me. That was for me, sure. And I appreciated it.
Sure.
For sure. Also, so Jennifer Hudson, like I said, gets hired as Carrie's personal assistant. Once she goes through the breakup, she just like has to pick up the pieces of her life and kind of reboot herself. And I really liked inserting Jennifer Hudson as this character and just like a fresh voice, fresh perspective, fresh person, because they bring back almost every single major character in this movie. And I think 2.5 hours of maybe the same six people would maybe have been a bit tiresome, but Jennifer Hudson just brings like really great fresh energy to it. And I just really loved her acting in it.
Yeah, I liked her a lot too. I forget what a good actress she is. I kind of miss that era, the Jennifer Hudson acting era.
I know. Yeah. I want her to be comfort me through like a horrendous breakup.
Yes, same.
And then last highlight, Amelia.
You know, it's small, but I appreciate the inclusion of Lily. I obviously hadn't, not that I've said this like 20 times already. I've only seen a few episodes of the show, so I didn't really know about, you know, Charlotte and Harry's whole journey through pregnancy. But it was nice to see, like, because as someone who is adopted, I don't get to see myself, you know, portrayed on screen, like, at all. Like, this mm-hmm. might be the first time I've ever seen it. So it was nice to just be like, oh, well, that's cute. Okay, I can relate to that. So,
yeah.
Lily was so cute, too.
So cute. And, like, yeah. The only child Sex and the City has allowed to, like, be a part of the, like, content. So I appreciated that.
Definitely.
Okay, let's do some lowlights. Kate, what do you got?
I just think, upon watching this movie, I was like, why haven't I watched this show? You know, it's up my alley. Like, I've seen a lot of shows from this era. Like, why did I never get around to this one? And my hypothesis is that I think if the men on this show were hotter, I would have watched it by now.
Wow.
Because some of these guys, and it's not just the age, like, whatever. Okay. I'm 25. Maybe they're too old for me. But, like, can someone explain to me how Charlotte's husband happened? Because I don't understand that at all.
Don't say that about Harry. You don't understand her history. You don't understand.
I don't.
He's
I would
the
love
perfect
to.
Man for her. It ain't
I
all
mean,
about
it's
looks.
Like a two Wait, and a does, 10. I don't get it at
Steve,
all.
Oh my God. Does Steve do nothing for you, Kate?
Steve is the only one. Cute. Steve's actually the only. And like, I know about Aiden, whatever. Like, there are definitely like some hot ones in the history of the show, I suppose. But like, Big is absolutely nothing for me. Charlotte's husband
really?
Just.
He's not attractive.
No.
Rude to Krishnov. Wow.
Steve, okay. But like, in a nerdy way. Like, Steve should be like the least hot one. Everyone else should be like levels above him. In my opinion.
What about Smith Jared?
Oh, you like him? Fine. Like in a, you know, in like, he doesn't have any chemistry, you know, he's just like a face. So yeah, that's my low light, honestly. And that's why I genuinely, why I don't think I've watched the show before. Wow. Damn. Crickets. Crickets.
See, wow. Agree to disagree. My low light was they did try to cram a lot. It worked for the most part, but like, 50 minutes in, Big leaves her at the wedding. And I was just like, that's a lot of movie to do before kind of like the inciting incident happens. Mm. So it's just a lot. Maybe could have spread it out over a couple seasons, but I appreciate it. What's your next low light, Kate?
This movie just really made me like miss wearing clothes and going places. I have worn jeans twice in the past 11 months, and that's my new formal wear. And I honestly miss like looking nice and seeing people. And that's all this movie is. Literally all this movie is like dressing up, being with friends in public places. And I was just like, wow, I have been alone for so long.
That's so true, though. It's so true. I had the exact same reaction.
Alone and ugly for so long. I just want to put on makeup and I want my shoes to hurt my feet for once. So, you know, that hit a little different than maybe it was intended.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree.
It made me miss New York. I was like, oh, New York.
I know. Yeah. Just vibrant city things going on. People going places. I was like, God dang it. That sounds nice. And then other lowlight is like, so Carrie, as she goes through this like come to Jesus breakup moment, she dyes her hair like really rich, true brown. And I think after 7 years of watching her on this TV show being like the classic Carrie Bradshaw blondish, it just was like a little odd. And I know that it was like very representative of what she was going through, blah, blah. Just get some breakup bangs, you know? I think I would have rather had Carrie Bradshaw do that.
I actually watching this.
I don't know.
I started looking at pictures of Sarah Jessica Parker because I was like, has she ever really dyed her hair? Because clearly it's a wig on the show because she didn't want to actually dye her hair. Mm. And I was looking at pictures of her like over time, and she has had that same blonde brown ombre her entire career, no matter the role, no matter the year, no matter the decade. And just like that kind of commitment to one hairstyle when you're an actress, gotta respect it.
Yeah.
Honestly.
And then my last lowlight, because I have to pick something tiny, is that Louise, Jennifer Hudson, leaves Carrie Bradshaw eventually to marry her own man and go live her own life. Carrie's trying to hack into her own email account to look at all the emails that Big has wrote to her, and she like blocked from her email account. Anyway, she has to put in a password. It's this like really big moment. She like can't figure out what Louise made as the password. She looks at the keychain and it's this little thing that says love. And then she plugs in love and that works. And I was like, guys,
perfect.
Feels like we could have done something else more creative here, but, or like a more creative password for Louise. That's not very
safe. Right. Also, I guess in 2008, you could get away with that. But nowadays it would have to be like love, one capital letter, four numbers and a symbol.
Six characters. Yeah. Right. Oh my God. It's so true. Okay, let's do what's aged the best and the worst. What is the best, Kate?
What has aged the best from this movie are the memes. And having never seen this movie, I did not know that some of the memes that I'd seen had come from this movie and not from the show. Namely, the scene where Carrie's wedding falls apart and she like hides in Charlotte's arms and Charlotte over her shoulder points at Big and is like, no! And I use that meme all the time.
Wow.
And I did not know that it was from this movie and not from the show. And then also the, you know, the meme of Carrie Bradshaw sitting in your computer being like, I couldn't help but wonder. The image in recent years that has accompanied that is also from this movie where she has like the fluffy coat on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the memes from this movie they're thriving even
today.
Keeping
it alive. Yeah.
So great.
Also aged really well is Brooklyn. In this movie made in 2008, they're walking down the street. Carrie is like bragging about the penthouse that Big has purchased. Like, it's like, oh, no big deal. The center of Manhattan, blah, blah, blah. And then Miranda, who's like, we have always been like known her as like some sad, like loveless hack, but she's really not. And I'll talk about that later. But anyway, Miranda goes, she goes, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. You live in real estate heaven and I live in Brooklyn. And Charlotte goes, New York Magazine says that Brooklyn is the new Manhattan. And then Miranda's like, whoever wrote that lives in Brooklyn. But guess what? That writer at New York Magazine was right, because Brooklyn is cooler than Manhattan, I feel like, at this point. So
yeah.
Way to go. And then also aged really well is Miranda herself. I don't know. I watched this at, like late teens, maybe early 20s. And then the whole time I was just brought up to believe that Miranda was like the sad one because she had a career and didn't know how to choose between love and the career that she wanted. She was always working and upset and tired. But no. Miranda has a fantastic career as a lawyer. She's got a full-time job. She's like has her own income. She has Steve, so she bagged a man. She has a kid. She has help. Like, she's a fully functioning, great life. And I feel bad that I was duped for so long. Miranda's not the character that we
She preceded
like,
the girl boss.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. Yeah. And we were just like, as women, we're like, no, she's the one you don't want to be. And it's like, actually, no, that's not true.
That's
right. You're right. Good for her. Good for her.
Okay, next one, Amelia. What aged the best?
I think one of the things that has aged the best, I like Big, and obviously I don't know the whole backstory, but he brings up a really great point when he's in bed with Carrie and she's like reading a book of all these like famous love letters from important men. And she's like, why don't you write me any love letters? And he's like, well, people like Napoleon and Beethoven, they had to write love letters because they were separated by wards and hundreds of miles. And yeah, he's completely right. They did have to write love letters because they were separated by like years-long wars and a bajillion miles and it being the 1800s. Like, of course, like, duh. Thank you. God, at least someone is sensible here. Jesus.
You first know? Of all, that's Amelia, true. You went through a letter writing phase yourself. So let us not throw stones in our glass houses. Second of all, the modern day equivalent of the love letter, what is it? Just like Instagram DMs?
I was going to say like dick pics. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Just
oh
kidding.
God.
So maybe we should go back to the love letters.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe all it I'm goes saying. Right. Okay, now what's aged the worst?
Really the one thing in this movie, I was prepared to be like everything aged well. And then right at the end of the movie, Samantha shows up and she's been going through it. You know, she's had some struggles trying to figure out if she wants to stay with her guy or not. And she shows up in a crop top with a completely normal, if not incredible body for a woman of her age. And the camera zooms in on her stomach, which has like maybe a pooch, if that.
A centimeter of a pooch.
Like literally just like like what I get when I like bend over, what any human gets, like just skin. And there's this whole 5 minutes period where they're like, oh my God, you've gained so much weight. Which first of all, like what the fuck if she has? Great. Like, who cares? Second of all, like she hasn't. So I did not love that whole like fat shaming plot. I thought it was like very out of nowhere and unnecessary. And they did nothing. Nothing to change her appearance whatsoever. She still looked amazing. So I didn't love that. That didn't age well.
And that was like the big fire alarm for all of them to have an intervention with her. Being like, you have depression. Right, you are in an unhappy relationship. Right. I don't look like that on my best day. So I completely agree. It's fucking rude.
I would fucking love to look like her at that age. So
yeah, I certainly won't. And then also kind of on that note, something that's aged really poorly is like, Carrie's 40. She's been dating Big and like has been partners with Big for like a very long time and on and off for like 10 years. But they see her and Vogue sees her as this like pariah because they call her like the last single girl in New York. Mm-hmm. And she like has a Vogue feature because she like is like an old decrepit woman finally getting married when that's like not at all the case. And it just was like really stupid. That's not age well.
Yeah. That is.
No.
Okay. Let's keep moving. Let's do the MVP. Kate, who's your pick?
Sorry. My pick for MVP is Elizabeth Kelly for her Oscar-winning performance. Back when we did the Magic Mike movies.
Rude.
We did the Magic Mike movies on this podcast, and she acted like they were the most scandalous things she had ever seen in her entire life. There was like a shadow of a boob, and she was like out. I started watching this movie knowing that Sex and the City was on HBO, but like not really knowing what to expect. There are more boobs in this movie than there are in Magic Mike. There is more male nudity in this movie than there is in Magic Mike. Maybe not. Maybe not. But there's a lot. And there's a lot of sex. There's I did not expect to see any of the main four characters' boobs, which I did. And I just was like, wow, this movie is way, way more explicit than I expected. And Liz Kelly has some explaining to do. So
I kind of forgot. I was like, when Samantha spends a lot of the movie thirsting after her neighbor. And there are a lot of really explicit scenes that I kind of forgot. But the show is like that, too. I watched it alone, obviously. It's like you hide your computer kind of watching.
Well, anyway, I just wanted to... I just like some warning next time. There's going to be this much thrusting in one of our movies. I just want some warning.
Well, it is called Sex in the City. I mean,
true. Right. I can still be uncomfortable by Channing Tatum just like grinding up on someone. That's fair valid
enough.
Still. Okay.
Fair enough.
My MVP is female friendship because it just basically all these women realize that, you know, besides maybe Charlotte, that like, you know, men are great, but like your friends are really incredible. There's this like great line in season 4 where Charlotte's like, maybe we can be each other's soulmates and then men can just be like these great, nice guys to have fun with. And I kind of think that's just like a through line for the series, the movies, et cetera. And I just feel like, yeah, great. It's
love
like
it.
Their lives kind of revolve around men and the show was, but still they got each other.
That's
Amelia,
the constant.
Who's your
love
MVP?
It.
I love all the women for various reasons, but I just want to, you know, shout out to Sarah Jessica Parker for kind of becoming her character. I think she was kind of synonymous with Carrie Bradshaw for a while, you know, the whole fashion thing and just New York. And she still lives in New York. She still does the fashion thing, whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then also just and because so good for you for building an entire career, you know, off of that character. And also she's just an icon. After I watched her on Instagram reacting to that solar eclipse where she was like, Matthew, it's beautiful. Oh my God. I mean, I could watch that video again and again and again and again and never get bored of it. It's just, it's an all-time iconic Instagram video from a celebrity. So thank you, Jessica Parker.
Yeah, she's really funny on Instagram. She like signs all of them like XXSJP and I'm like, everybody knows, it's okay. We know that you're not having someone run it.
Yeah, and I love her her avatar little icon is like just a close-up of her eye. It's a little blurry. And you're like, okay, sure.
Sure. She's like a chaotic mom on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly.
Love to follow. Okay, let's quickly do the lightning round before we move on. Let's pick an outfit MVP. Kate, who'd you pick?
My outfit MVP is the insane wedding veil bird. I thought it was like a feather hat thing, but she says very clearly later on that she had an entire bird on her head in her wedding. which, you know, if I was big and I was getting out of that car and I saw that my future wife had a bird on her head, like, I don't know what I would do either. So I just love, because, you know, the wedding dress is beautiful and she looks beautiful. And actually, the styling choices aren't that crazy in this movie. But I love just like having that one super over the top, like someone would never wear this in real life, like little thing thrown in. Mm-hmm. It's really great. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, her styling is obviously, and has been the entire time, just like the most out there. She gets woken up on New Year's Eve by Miranda being like, I'm alone, like, come over. And she rolls out of bed, and the outfit that she chooses just to like swing herself to Brooklyn in the middle of the night is a gigantic ankle length fur coat, a sequin beret, and like white booty heels. And I just really appreciate her commitment to her style, even in the dead of the night.
It's true.
Amelia, what's your pick?
You know, I love all of her outfits, but there was this moment, and it was Kim Cattrall or Samantha was sitting on her deck looking at her neighbor, and she had the biggest fucking hat on I've ever seen in my life. Like, this thing was comically huge, and she was just like, I don't even know how to, like, just, it was just huge. It was like, you know, you've seen big sun hats before, but this was like huge, like never before seen. It was like its own planet, and like she used it to like cover her face, which I thought was kind of nice. And I don't know, it just was like, wow, that's a statement.
Also, just a huge mood. She's just like crushing guacamole, watching her hot neighbor. Like, if that's not the goal for life, I just don't know what is.
Amelia, I feel like we came to this realization together. Like, I'm going to miss Samantha and that presence in the show so much in this reboot. I'm really bummed. And watching it reminded me, I was like, damn it, this is good. She's so good.
Yeah, and they were like good at acting like they were friends.
Yeah, I know.
Shocked and upset and hurt.
Is this superior to the TV show? I guess I'm the only one who gets this. And I'm going to say.
I don't know why I put that question in there. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I put the next one and also like, it wasn't really a good one that gained a lot of traction. So I will say, no, this is not superior to the TV show. Whenever you two want to do like a binge mode Sex and the City TV show version, I'll watch it with you.
Perfect.
Would you guys take back a man who spammed your email with poems from like old dead poets like Big did? Yes or no?
Absolutely not. That no. If a man doesn't know me enough to know that I am strictly inbox zero and like I don't need any man contributing to my inbox.
Yeah.
I feel like today it would just be like, you know, your like Instagram DM requests. You would just have like, you know, 300 unread messages from Big and you'd have to like click in and look. No, don't spam my inbox. Don't spam me with anything. Just like,
I agree.
Talk it out.
Yeah.
Bit overwhelming to look at. Yes. I get stressed. And then also no one wanted to take this one. And I think I have a reason why. Let's sort the Tea Time Squad into their Sex and the City counterparts. I don't know why, but no one likes the answer and like playing this game. It's really common. I've done it with friends of all like college,
what
high school,
do you
whatever.
Hear? Let's do it this way. I'm sure everyone has done this. If you haven't, just guess. Have you ever taken a quiz or like been told that you are someone? Like, what's the answer that you get from the rest of the world? Because I took a quiz twice and I got Miranda both times.
See, I've taken like a Harry Potter quiz, you know, but I haven't taken like a Sex and the City quiz. I don't know. I think
you have like, we're all kind of a mash. It's hard to really, Amelia has like the chaotic Samantha energy, but.
Yeah. You know. And Samantha, because like everyone wants to be around Samantha. Samantha's the most fun. Samantha's the one everyone calls at the end of the day when shit goes bad. Like Samantha has the energy that none of those other women have. And I feel like that's Amelia to T.
Yeah. The
that's
keyboard smash energy, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Love a good keyboard smash.
And Kate, you've gotten Miranda before? I can see that too. Which again, not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's not. It's a good thing.
Yeah. I've gotten Charlotte, you know, which is probably not.
I think Liz and Kaya both have Charlotte Carrie energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very competent, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Agreed.
Yeah, this isn't the best fit for us. It wasn't as good as the, you know, the book club sorting that we did? That was much more accurate.
Oh, yeah.
Book club. God, give that movie a sequel.
Yeah, speaking of, next week we're going to do Sex and the City 2, the second movie. So please watch with us. And yeah, that's what's coming up next week. And finally, let's do Tea Time's unanswerable questions. I'm going first. My question revolves around one person, but this whole production is kind of cursed, so we can touch on it. Talking about being the Ricardos, which is going to follow like Lucille Ball, Desi Arnaz during a week of production for I Love Lucy. A lot of problems. Aaron Sorkin is writing and producing it. which he shouldn't be. And then a lot of casting problems. So I'm going to focus on Nicole Kidman. But before I do, Javier Bardem is cast as Desi Arnaz. And Javier Bardem is a Spanish actor. Desi Arnaz is a Cuban-American. And a lot of people are feeling really frustrated that, like, why Hollywood cannot get Latinx representation correct, like, to save their life. A really good choice people brought up was Raul Esparza, who I love on Law & Order SVU. Yeah. They could have gotten it right. They chose not to. Javier Bardem is not the right fit. And then Nicole Kidman is also not the right fit because I feel like Lucille Ball's persona and comedy is revolved around these, like, big facial expressions and, like, so much of the comedy revolves in the face, and Nicole Kidman can't move her face.
Oh my God.
And, like, my question was, like, I think I cursed this because remember when we watched The Prom and I was like, cast Nicole Kidman in more, like, comedic, slapstick, fun roles, and I did not mean this, and I'm sorry that I said it because I don't think she's the right fit at all.
Yeah, and this was originally supposed to be Kate Blanchett, who I love, obviously. And I'm actually, like, historically an Aaron Sorkin apologist as a big West Wing fan. And this has been in the works forever. Like, he's been trying to get this across the board forever. And I remember when we first heard about it, I was like, Kate Blanchett doing Aaron Sorkin dialogue, gonna be great. Like, no matter how iffy Aaron Sorkin is, like, I'm still gonna enjoy it. And then she either dropped out or couldn't do it or whatever. And now Nicole Kidman's here. And I love Nicole Kidman, but the other point that people have been bringing up is Nicole Kidman's difficulty with accents and Aaron Sorkin's pages and pages and pages of dialogue. And it's not like she's going to be doing, like, you know, a silent or, like, a subdued performance. It's going to be a ton of dialogue in an accent. And that's just, like, not something that she historically can do. So people were like, how many pages until the Australian accent comes out? Like, I just don't want her to get dragged for this, you know? It's just like, it's you don't have to do this, Nicole. There are so many other roles.
Like a drag across the board.
Yeah. What's worse? Here's my unanswerable question in addition to my next one. What is more miscast? Nicole Kidman as I Love Lucy or Kristen Stewart as Princess Diana?
I'm gonna go with Kristen Stewart as Princess Diana.
I'm sorry. I think it's still her. So, you know, maybe they'll come out around the same time and Nicole will just be like, well, look at this.
One will bury the other. What's your other unanswerable question then?
My unanswerable question is, are Tamagotchis coming back? You know, we talked about sea shanties. And apparently the other thing sparking joy on the internet, according to Angela Lashbook for Debugger, is Tamagotchis. Apparently people in quarantine, you know, we talked about nostalgia, you know, we kind of went back into Twilight and, like, people are revisiting the things that, like, sort of brought them very simple joy when they were younger. And apparently Tamagotchis are one of those things. People are sort of bringing them back and, like, taking care of them again in quarantine. And I don't know. Did you guys ever have Tamagotchis when you were younger?
Hell yeah.
They were super big.
But they were, like, there were different brands. I remember the Gigapets were, like, the really cool brand, and I never got one, and I'm just, like, I'm still pissed to this day. So
yeah, I have
those things are hard to keep alive, right?
They were. I have a super vivid memory of being in a fifth grade class. I can literally see it. And someone's Tamagotchi was beeping in their backpack, and the teacher walked over and, like, let it die in front of us because we didn't want them in the classroom. And we were all, like, absolutely horrified that she had killed this person's Tamagotchi. We were like, this is unforgivable.
Jesus.
And, like, clearly, if I still remember it, you know, however many years later. I honestly would be into getting a Tamagotchi. I feel like I just need that, like, little sense of accomplishment, you know, like, oh, I fed my Tamagotchi. Like, I did something today. I'm taking care of another being.
Yeah, I agree. Right. Better than a pet for me.
Yeah.
All right. Lastly, Amelia, what's your question?
Yes. So Katy Perry, the pop star, as you may know, obviously, she has done gaming collaborations before. She famously collaborated with The Sims, and there's, like, a video of her online speaking or singing in Simlish, like, last Friday night, and she's like, yarby gibby gobble goops. It's really funny.
I forgot about that.
It's a really good one. It's a good video. I highly suggest looking it up. And then she recently announced just the other day that she is going to be collaborating with Pokemon for its 25th anniversary. They're doing some new music program. They don't really know. They haven't really released a bunch of information, but, you know, she's like, hey, I love Pikachu. What up? So that's what she's doing, you know, because I don't know if she is even singing anymore, to be honest, because she's doing a lot of these collaborations. This might be her main source of money, which to that I say, stream Smile. Let her know that we are listening to her music. Okay. It's a good album.
You need a cut of something from her, Amelia. I swear to God. I feel like she should instead be a voice on an animated movie. And if she wants to like lend herself to a creative project that doesn't have to deal with like the music industry, just be a voice on like Angry Birds 4. I feel like that would be easier than chilling Pokemon. I don't know. Maybe
well,
not.
She was a Smurf. She was Smurfette in the Smurf
movie.
Well,
there you go. Lean in.
So, yeah. But what gaming, like, brand do you think she should collab with next? Like, should she have like her own Princess Peach like line or something?
She should collab with Tamagotchi. I hear they're coming
back. Oh, honestly, I would, you know what? She actually would be perfect. I think that's a great idea.
Katie Gotchi. I don't know. I hope that's not a word already.
Yeah. Pretty good, Kate.
You know, just spitballing here.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, let's wrap this one up. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Kaya, our producer. Thank you, Zoe Simmons, for joining this week. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kate Hallowell.
And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer.